Where is that weathered gravestone? The one with leaves and vines that once stood proud amongst the crowd of mockers' tombs and shrines. Where is that weathered gravestone with broken names and dates, whose owner now forgotten lies begging at the gates? Where is that weathered gravestone, the one in ash and brine? Please help me, 'cause I'm afraid that weathered gravestone's mine.
Greetings, fellow travelers, to a land where the boundaries of reality blur and dark mysteries unfold. Join us as we unravel the secrets hidden within these tales from the labyrinth. The ghosts in the graveyard.
I could have sworn I heard something.
Good. Your senses are improving. What is it you thought you heard?
I did hear it.
I know, my Xyrlon. I trust in you.
You do?
Yes, I do. Now, what did you hear?
Sounded like singing.
Are you sure it wasn't just the songbirds?
It's night.
I suppose it is.
I heard it too.
Shut your mouth, or I will shut it for you.
Valentine!
What now, Cassandra?
Don't treat the prisoner that
I'll
way.
I'll treat the prisoner any way I feel is necessary, and you will be wise to remember who it is you are addressing, and that is your Morikal. Is that understood, my Xyrlon?
Yes, sir. Sorry, sir.
Good. Well, here is good a place as any to rest for the night. We're still a good 2 days' journey back to Calphuria proper, and we will need our wits about us. Keep an eye on him. I'm going to patrol the area to make sure we haven't been followed.
She know you're a Caladron?
Oh, I didn't think you'd reawakened.
I'll take that as a no.
Shut your mouth, or I will...
Your secret is safe. Does me no good to tattle. I tell the knight, and I'll still be off to the gallows, except now I'm sending some child off to the desert wastelands of Encephalon.
You'll really keep my secret?
By the gods. By the gods, I do declare it. By the gods, I do swear it.
Thank you.
Aye.
So...
You can call me Arden.
Oh, I know your name. I'd be a horrible knight if I didn't know the name of my bounty. Arden.
You don't know why I'm being brought to my death, do you? She hasn't told you.
She said I didn't need to know.
That's rich. She's training you to be some ruthless killer. Calphuria's own knight of the Circle Council, protectors of the realm. And she won't even tell you what I've done to send me to my death. Bloody hell. Now I wish I hadn't sworn by the gods.
But you did.
Aye, that I did. And it'll be kept. It's just... Pardon my language, young miss, but it's kind of fucked up if you think about it. Just mindless drones being groomed. No willpower of their own. Just go out, do what we tell you to do. Never mind the reasons. We are Calphuria. We are the realm.
I get it.
I'm not really sure that you do.
Oh. He's awakened. What nonsense have you been trying to fill my Xyrlon's head with? Did you practice your mantras in your downtime like I requested?
Yes. Yes, sir.
Good. The ghost's clear. Let's hear them while I set up camp.
Now? In front of the prisoner?
He'll have no one to spill secrets to in a few days. It won't cause no harm if he overhears.
Okay. First, the path of the Parry. On the path of the Parry we stand, with strength and valor hand in hand. A creed to guide our noble quest, reminding us to be our best. Not through aggression, but with grace, we find our honor in every space. For battles won with steady art can mend the world and heal the heart. In shield and sword we seek to find a balance true with peace of mind, to parry blows with wisdom's might, and forge a future bathed in light.
Excellent. I don't think I could have said it any better myself. You Shards really take studying to heart.
I've always loved to read.
Why did you become a knight?
Are you questioning my willpower?
No, Cassandra, please. I know you're strong, thick-skinned, smart, dedicated. You've bested all the trials to get where you are now. You are worthier than most. I just wish to know your reasoning as to why.
So would I.
Arden, I swear to the gods above!
Stop!
I'll tell you, just please, stop hitting him.
Why?
You said it yourself, he'll have no one to spill secrets to in a few days because he'll be dead. Why hurt him now? Does nothing to change the ending.
Fair point. And I should save my strength for the Tour of Four. Continue, Xylon.
Yes, sir. Why I Wanted to Be a Knight, by Cassandra...
Not stalling.
Sorry. I wanted to be a knight because I saw there was injustice in the world and I wanted to right those wrongs. Being a knight of the Circle Council, well, the knights stand for everything right and truthful and good, that we can be more than weapons. And as the Path of the Parry teaches us, we can heal the world not through aggression, but with grace. I wish to be that grace. I will be.
She speaks the truth. Very good. Very good. Continue.
Continue?
I asked if you studied your mantras, not mantra. You only gave me one side of the blade. What about the other side and the tip?
Ah, yes. The path of the prick and the path of the pale.
The very same. I think we should take the former first, and then the latter, yes?
Yes, sir. The path of the prick. On the path of the prick we tread, where wit and wisdom forge our thread. A creed to guide our subtle might, to outmaneuver in the darkest fight. Not through force, but clever guile, we pierce the veil with crafty style. For in our minds the weapons gleam, strategizing, a plan serene. We must always practice this subtle art, to triumph without a weapon's dart. So let us walk this cunning trail where intellect and grace doth prevail.
Very good. And now the pale.
Of course. The path of the pale. On the path of the pale we advance, where strength and death duel and dance. A creed to face the odds so dire, embracing life's eternal fire. In battles fierce we take our place, defying fate with noble grace. For sometimes force will have no length to conquer challenges with such strength. This is the path, our calling true. In accepting death, our life renewed. With hearts ablaze and spirits brave, we triumph still beyond the grave.
Perfect. Absolutely sterling.
That last bit was a bit terrifying.
I found it to be quite beautiful.
By the gods!
Show yourself!
Now don't y'all start overreacting. I come in peace.
Don't you go telling me what to do.
I must stress again, please calm down and don't go reaching for your weapon and I...
Shit!
Now, see, that was exactly the opposite of what I was requesting. Where were we? Oh, yes. My name's Boone. Boone Sinclair. Pleased to meet y'all's acquaintance. I was just traveling through Alcius here trying to get down to Calfuria for the games, and by the gods, I am mighty lost.
Why should we believe a word you are saying?
Well, you saw very clearly with your own two peepers the accuracy of my shooting. So if my plan here is to unmake one of you, well, you'd best believe you'd be already face to face with your creator now, not sitting here chatting it up with me like a bunch of gossipy wives down at the market. As I was trying to say, I am very lost, and then I happened upon you lovely people, and I just thought I'd come on over and say hello, so... hello.
You know, I rather like them.
Shut up, Arden.
I can have opinions, too.
Where did you come from, Boone?
Just left Remus. Ever been?
Oh, my.
Liar. No one leaves there.
What's she mean?
Oh, nothing, friend. Just rumors. Stories. Tales told out of school.
What sorts of stories?
Tales about monsters. Creepy crawlies. Things that go bumpity-bump in the night, but not like in them kid stories, no. These aren't children's yarns being spun into warm blankets to soften the blow of the morality it's preaching. These are monsters. Grotesque. Disturbing. Images burned forever into your brain, so vivid and monstrous. It's all you can see when you close your eyes at night and stir in the blackness of sleep.
What kinds?
Like, well, let's see now. Well, there's the shambling undead, skin dropping off their frame like runny grits, just water falling off your breakfast plate. They just everywhere. Kind of dumb, but hella strong. Easy to get around if you know what you're doing. But the others, oh boy, there are others. Strange creatures, beings that can infiltrate your mind and make you believe and perform, well, all sorts of horrific and delicious acts. Well, there's the velvety one for starts, but we don't like to talk about them very much. The more you say their name, the stronger they become, you get me?
I have no idea what you are talking about right now.
You don't get out much, do you, son? I tried to be kind and cordial before, but you have really tested my patience. And my patience, it's much like a forgetful child who left their precious dolly on the public trolley. See, my patience, sir, well, it's lost. Do you wish to try me, sir? Do you wish to test my resolve? Because I can assure you, it will pass with flying colors. Now let's show your little pup here that where you stop is where I have only begun.
Don't you touch a hair on
her. I really do not think you are in a position to be taking that sort of tone with me.
Please.
Now then, that's a bit more like it. Did I detect a wee bit of love for your ward emanating from you, Sir Valentine? Maybe I do. Maybe I do indeed. She's looking out for you, pup, even if she can be a bit of an ass about it.
Could I get a smoke too?
Son, this ain't tobacco.
All the better.
By all means.
You say you just came from Remus?
Very same.
That's a lie.
Is it?
No one leaves Remus. We've sent hundreds of caravans and expeditions, and not one has returned.
Except for me.
What is that thing that you're cleaning? Where did it come from?
You mean old Betsy here?
You named it Betsy?
Of course I did. Why, I like Betsy. It's a proper gal's name.
Men always name their weapons after women. It's a means of showing control over what they deem to be the weaker sex.
You have got me all wrong. My sword here is named Charles. Wanted to show old Charlie here I was open-minded.
Is it magic?
Magic? No, 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 not magic. No, no, no. That'd be illegal now, wouldn't it, pup? I don't quite know what it is, to be perfectly honest. Been calling it a hand cannon. Found it during my travels. Had to figure out the exact ratios for the gunpowder to the size of the slug myself the hard way. But I am a persistent bastard. Got it right on the fifth try. Used to be a pair of them, a set you get. But, you know, the old saying about omelets and eggs.
You never said where you got it from.
Well, didn't I? Oh, well, in my travels, I've
been... In your travels, yes, you said.
Yes. Yes, I did.
Look, cut the crap. You did not come from Remus. So what's the truth? Where did you really come from?
Look, the where don't really matter. I've just come from all over, friends. I honestly don't think I can remember a single town I stayed in more than a handful of years before moving on, whether of my choosing or not.
I smell sulfur and ash about you. You've been to the wastes.
That's quite a nose you have on you.
A knight excels at all things.
What you know about the wastes?
It's on the edge of documented territory in Alcius, between civilization and the vast desert in Cephalon.
There was a city-state that they tried to petition to get made there, right?
Would have been the furthest one yet. But after the calamity that was Ramus, well, let's just say the committee was a bit more than a little wary.
What were they going to call it again?
Aetherium. And it was going to be beautiful. To the west, it's going to be large sand dunes with rich, vibrant flora and space to expand. To the east was dense forests and rivers, fauna and fruit to sustain a small town for several years. It was also closer to a nexus.
Nexus?
It's what we called it. A spot of such a dense magic, it acts almost like a magnet, can draw all sorts of creatures to it, great and small, and sometimes not of this plane.
Why would the kingdom want to build a city-state close to magic?
It wasn't outlawed then. Not yet. It's because of what happened in Aetherium that caused the banning of magic in Pylos, and then what would become Aetherium's stepsister city, Calfuria.
Do you know what happened?
Stories. But no, not really. Do you?
I do indeed. Like I said before, pup, this was a time when magic was not just outlawed, but it was actually celebrated. Courts had their own private magicians for entertainment, for protection, sometimes for their private needs.
How could...
Ever met a Caladron in battle?
I have.
Ever seen him cast up that duplication spell, make multiple themselves to up their firepower?
Aye.
Well, in the king's private chambers, let's just say the more the merrier.
You're disgusting.
Heard.
I don't quite...
Never you mind that kind of thing, Cassandra.
You asked.
And I regret it.
Never regret hearing a good story. Especially to me. It's all I got. Well, that and my charming personality.
And that hand cannon.
That too. So the Lord of Aetherium, Lord Shale, had his own pet Caladron. Gods, what was her name? Ebersol. Ebersol the Wise, she was known as. She was always with Shale. Everywhere he went, she was sure to follow. She was his right hand. His left hand, too, if he got bored with the other.
Heard.
If you don't... Do whatever you want. Your penance is already set.
Oh, wow. Well, I thank you kindly.
You two hands done clucking? May I continue?
Sorry. Continue, please.
Well, Ebersol wanted more. She craved it. Shale was gluttonous, lazy. Ebersol wanted to make a difference in Aetherium, and Shale was just pleased as pie to go along with the status quo. Shameful creature he was. He consumed well more than he gave back to the city, I'll tell you that. Shale was hosting some big meeting in Aetherium at his private domicile, gathering all the heads of the commerce in the city, pottery, mining, textiles, agriculture, all the head honchos were present and accounted for. Shale was hoping to get the backing of all their unions when he came up for re-election later on that year. Ebersol had been nervous. She knew there were rumblings about the city. People like to talk, you can. And she knew how unpopular Shale was becoming with the people of Aetherium, and any time she tried to tell him, he would dismiss it as hearsay. People like to talk, you can. She put on her best dress for the meeting that night, a long snow-white number made of silk and satin, all with matching veil and footwear. "Stilettos are the right choice for tonight," she said aloud to no one. She greeted the heads one by one as they entered Shale's home, each one giving her the once-over. All men, of course, and to men, well, Ebersol in white was a sight to behold. Now this is all ceremony, mighty. No one ever really ran against him. No one wanted the job. I think deep down the people of Ethereum knew they weren't long for this world and just wanted to see how the ride ended. Just a fun little theory I like to keep in my back pocket for shits and giggles, but I digress. It was expected to be the same for this year's election. Shale had no reason to think any differently. He'd give them all the pomp and circumstance their grubby little hands could hold on to, and they'd swear fealty to his lordship. They'd toast. They'd desire. They'd eat until they burst and embedded whatever concubines had purchased for that evening's festivities. But this year was different. Someone piped up and voiced their displeasure with Shale's operation. Then another. Another. They thought there should be some changes made before they decided to agree to give him the city for another term. Shale pleaded with him, said it was too much, that the city couldn't afford it. The party disbanded, and Shale shrunk back on down to his quarters. Ebersol tried to warn him. She said he'd been ignoring her advice more and more, and that the decisions he's making were not quite popular with folk. Shale answered back with a swift right across her cheek. Now, I don't think she meant to kill him, but the anger inside her, that bubbling animosity mixed with the proximity to the Nexus, You ever milk a cow, pup?
Excuse me?
I asked if you ever milked a cow. Got all up in them plump udders.
I have, yes. I grew up on a farm.
Well, then you know the feeling. The gentle sloshing of a full udder, that tenseness of the skin, the soft slush of milk as the heifer rocks back and forth, uncomfortable with the weight pulling on her body, like a bag of skin filled with fluid about to burst, begging to be released.
Why are...
With a single word, she disintegrated his bones. And I don't mean exploded. I mean they just poof, gone. And collapsed at her feet was a skin bag, gargling, screaming in pain for, gosh, longer than I ever wish on anyone. Ebersol lifted her dress and raised up her foot. Stiletto was the right choice for tonight, she said aloud to no one. Just a bag of skin full of fluid, sloshing around, about to burst, begging to be released. The noise it made drew the attention of the staff and guards. When they entered, there stood Ebersol the Wise. Ebersol in white, in a pool of crimson. One of the guards came up and placed a hand on her shoulder. Not in an aggressive way, mind you, just to turn her around. As soon as his hand touched her shoulder...
Are you going to wow us with another disgusting metaphor?
No, ma'am, just pausing for effect. A little production value for you fine folks. Now, he did explode. And his bony projectile serrated and perforated everyone else in that room. Instant death. Now, at that point, the power had overcome her. Taken control. No Caladron had ever wielded power like this before, nor none since. Just walking down the streets, collapsing structures and imploding buildings with a thought. Or a glance. She just... decimated the town. Painted it red. By the time her rage had subsided, there was nothing left could be saved. Ethereum was a wasteland. She became so overcome with grief that she dropped to her knees in the middle of the town square and wept uncontrollably. She wept and wept until her body started to change. Pieces of her left with each tear shed, flowing down her cheek, down her body, to the stones below and then the earth. Slowly, quietly, she wept and shrunk until she was no more. She cried herself away.
That's some story. But it's bullshit.
I speak the true.
If no one survived, then how could anyone know exactly what happened? Any number of things could have caused the destruction of a small city.
They saw the glimmer.
The what?
They call it the glimmer. When a lot of magic is used, especially in such a concentrated area, it leaves behind a trace. A ripple in the atmosphere, almost imperceptible to the naked eye. You would need someone with magical abilities to see it. They said that during wartime, after a particularly nasty altercation, the battlefield would light up at night. Phantasms of war left behind.
The ghosts in the graveyard.
How do you know all this, Cassandra? I am ordering you to answer me. Do you hear me? I am your...
He's a Caladron.
Did you say...
Just a bag of skin.
Boone, I'm going to need you to shut the fuck up right now.
I wouldn't try that if I...
In the name of the king, I vow...
Well, now, that is a neat little trick. If you've had your fill, now is something I'd like to talk to you about, Chartreuse.
It's pronounced Cassandra.
However you like. Now that we're alone, I'd like to have a little parlay with you. And as you can see, you ain't got any influence over me.
I can see that. Why is that, Boone?
Well, now, a magician never reveals his secrets, now do they?
You're no magician, outsider. I would have sensed the magic emanating off your skin.
First name basis to outsider that quickly, eh, pup? I guess the dark magics are taking control of you quicker than I expected. May have miscalculated the timing, but...
I smell fear in you, outsider.
That's just my natural musk. Hair, it's quite appealing. Now, where did I put that blasted... there you are.
You cannot run from me forever, outsider. We will meet again, for I have seen it.
Great to hear. Could it be in the summertime? I've always loved the summertime, though my mother told me I was a little bit more of an autumn guy. Women, am I right? Now, you know, I just hate to travel in the awful weathers and...
You are stalling.
Well, what gave you that idea, Eldramar?
You know my name.
Oh, you didn't think I'd come unprepared, now would you?
I'll see you soon, Boonson.
Cassandra, you all right? Now don't you go scaring me here, darling. Are you...
What? What happened?
A little, magic. Borrowed magic, that is. And, now she's spent.
I don't know what got over me.
It sensed your magic, Caladron. The moment you made that little fire dance at the tips of your fingers, it was like a beacon. Not only a beacon of light in the night to guide the way, but a beacon of magical energy that can be followed and traced.
What was that thing inside me? What did you call it?
Eldramar. It's not a real name. It doesn't even have a name. It's not a thing. It's not real.
I don't follow.
You know how like a metaphor is like an idea, wearing another idea as a coat?
Sorta.
Well, that is... that thing. A metaphor. That concept, that's like what Eldramar is. It's older than time. Older than any recorded history I've ever come across, but it's tracking us now. So I gotta be quick. Sandra, you're a Caladron. I know it. You know it.
Did I kill
Harvey? You can't think about that right now, goddammit. It is after you.
I don't know what you're talking about.
The labyrinth. It wants you, Cassandra. It's been looking for you for a long time. Almost as long as me. Now, Eldramar, think of Eldramar as one of the Labyrinth's lieutenants.
I'm frightened, Boone. I don't know what's happening.
You, Cassandra, are not who you think you are. It's not the right time to tell you. Not yet, but you will learn soon. Now, here. Now, this yellow ribbon here is your entry into the Tour of Four. Now, you're going to be representing House Canary now instead of Sir Valentine. They're not going to care when you check in, and if they give you a fuss, you just say that Sir Valentine fell ill with shits, and you're going to be the sworn second to take her place. It's all within code. Just make sure that that ribbon is tied around your arm. Now, you're going to need a new name.
Is that the entrance to the Tour of Four? How did we get here?
Huh? Oh, this. Magical pouch. Had some doodads in it some witch gave to me. Told me if I poured it at my feet, all I had to do was just think about where I wanted to go, and there I'd be. Never tried it before. Guess it's a good thing she wasn't a bad witch. Just listen to me, and you listen good, child. Ken, you are important. Now, I know you always felt like something was off, when your place in this world felt wrong.
Kid, you're not too far off. You need to get somewhere. Somewhere the labyrinth can't get to you.
Why does it want me?
Your magic. You can't do much now. Little illusions and the like, but that's just for now. Later on, much, much later on, you can and will do so much more. And the labyrinth wants that power for its own.
I don't know if I can.
This is not your verse yet, Poe. Someone else's time. Yours will come one day, but today will not be that day. Today, you run. First, this. And now you must go.
Why did you just cut off some of my hair?
Because I'm going to shove it into this other bag the witch gave me and use it to copy your magical scent. Send Eldermar on a wild goose hunt.
Where will you go, Boone?
To wherever my boots take me, pup. Wherever my boots take me.
And what will you do about Eldermar?
Oh, I'm sure we'll meet again. Eldermar will be on my tail soon enough. So I walk. I walk. I feel it, Stoss. Good day to you, Mademoiselle.
Okay. Well, into town we go, I guess. First you need to hide. Change my name. Where's a local whorehouse when you need one?
Get your horse here!
Yahtzee!
Tales from the Labyrinth is a patronized production, produced by Will Thome. Sir Valentine was played by Dee Quintero. Cassandra was played by Aaron Mello Pryor. Arden was played by Murray Farnell. Boone Sinclair was played by Ron Motley. Music by Ross Lampert. This episode was written and directed by Tony Patron. Edited by Will Thome. If you enjoyed Tales from the Labyrinth, check out our other podcasts, Villainology and In Good Spirits, wherever you get your podcasts. Consider supporting Patronize Productions live and audio productions on Patreon.